Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Apparently, the opening song that we play won't play because right now I'm currently on my phone because I am in an undisclosed location somewhere in Kentucky, somewhere between my house and my work, somehow, someway. Anyway, this is Raven Fire Doll. Samara should be joining us shortly, and we are finally back for the Tree of Life Hour. It's been a while. It's been probably close to 5 weeks since we've actually had a brand new, fresh episode for our wonderful, wonderful listeners. And the other thing I will say tonight is that chat is not open right now because I am currently running the board from my phone and not from my computer, but once I get in front of my computer, I plan on getting chat up. Tonight we are going to be talking about a whole bunch of current events in the news and one current event in particular, and I actually kind of want to wait on Samara to call in. I know she's going to be calling in a couple of minutes late. I guess I should go ahead and just set the situation up. For those of you all who've been living under a rock for the past 48 hours, wildcard.org recently published an article about an investigation that came out as a result of some allegations in a book that has recently been written. Some of these allegations are not new, and some of them are. So I'm going to back this up for a moment, explain to our listeners what's going on, and hopefully once I have the situation explained, maybe Samara will be with us. The situation is Moria Graylin, who is the daughter of Walter Breen and Marion Zimmer Bradley, recently published a book called The Last Closet, The Dark Side of Avalon. In the book, she actually details her abuse at the hands of her parents. She actually talks a little bit about her parents' upbringing and psychology, which is really interesting. And she also goes on to further discuss that she's been sexually assaulted by another pig named Pagan. Supposedly assaulted, which is raising a lot of controversy in the community, obviously. Her name of this individual, and I'm going to wait until Samara gets on so she can tell you who the individual is and go into that. But there are a lot of questions regarding the situation, regarding the book, publisher, the editor, and it's a lot of this stuff that we're going to kind of discuss it here in a bit and unpack. This kind of came to my attention when Samara sent me a message to look at Shauna Knight's Facebook page. And I looked at Shauna's Facebook page, and I saw this whole thing about the book, and then I went, oh, crud. And I looked. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. So I read the whole allegation and everything. And I think we finally have Samara here with us. If the board will cooperate. Well, maybe it's not cooperating with me just as of yet.
Oops, sorry, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Sorry, I had muted the phone because I am at my grandmother's house and there's lots of kids in the background.
Yeah. Well, I'm kind of traveling around in the ether.
So, yeah, the weather is kind of... We got, I don't know if Raven Fiery said this, but we are expecting a big snowstorm in tomorrow, so everything's gone a little nuts. All on our first night back on the air after the new year.
Yeah, so we, in the following order, we ice and snow.
Of course, so is like half the United States.
Currently, right now, it's 60 degrees. This time Sunday, it will be down to 4 degrees.
Yeah. It's pretty nice outside right now, though.
Yep. Yeah, it is very nice outside, actually. I was kind of talking a minute ago about, I don't know if you heard, I was kind of setting up the whole thing about the book that we were talking about.
About the what? I'm sorry.
About the book.
Oh, did you find any screen prints of that?
Actually, I have Kindle Unlimited.
Oh, so you got it for free?
Yeah. So neither the author nor the publisher is getting a dime out of me.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So, tonight is the Chasing Squirrels, and, of course, the biggest thing we talk about is going to be about probably this book and what we can take away from it and, you know, how to deal with it and what positive things we can turn this into, hopefully, right?
Right, right, absolutely.
So, unfortunately, I have no Wi-Fi to where I can't even look anything up on my phone. So I'm going to have to play our whole conversation by ear.
This is going to get interesting real quick. I will be in front of a computer here in a moment and be able to pull stuff up because I'm getting ready to not be driving for a moment.
Have you gone into what the book was about?
I went in about the fact the book was about Moria Grayling was writing about her childhood, about Marion Zimmer Bradley and Walter Green, and that she accused a certain big-name pagan of also being an abuser, but I said that I would let you go into who that individual is, what the allegation is, and kind of some of the thorns associated with it.
Okay, so the big-name pagan that was accused of, and actually I'm not even exactly positive what he's accused of because the book is kind of, at least the quoted parts that I saw from the book are kind of vague on what actually happened, but she, and from what I understand, it almost looks like she accuses him of making her feel uncomfortable and that she wasn't going into details about what happened, but that she made him hate him, and she couldn't stand the smell of him. And who we're talking about is that she is accusing Isaac Bonowitz. Now, since you were able, I guess, to scan the book, was there any more details to exactly what she's accusing him of?
I've not gotten that far. I've
so,
actually not gotten that far in the
okay.
book. But I can tell you from what I have read of the book, a few of the particulars, at least from my point of view. So far I've read the first, like, three chapters. The book itself is rather vague, because the first couple chapters actually detail her parents' upbringing and the fact that they themselves were abused as children. So there's that to unpack as well. But she was also very vague about some of that. She did gloss over, she did kind of go into, she does have, at least at the end of the chapters that I have completed so far, she has a section called Armchair Psychology, where she kind of goes into the psychology of the situations at hand. I don't know what else to say other than that. She does kind of go into the psychology of her mother. She does kind of go into the psychology of her father, how both themselves were sexually abused as children, and how that kind of later influenced the fact that they became abusers in their lives. Now, the other thing,
yeah, from what I understand, it's like just a couple pages out of the whole book that are about Isaac Bonowitz. But a lot of people are kind of confused about this one. Okay, let me just give you an example. For like when Kenny Klein was accused and finally arrested, there weren't a lot of people that were surprised because there were rumors going around.
Right.
But as far as Isaac Bonowitz, I have heard a few things said, like, after the fact, like, I did have a couple people come to me and say, well, I thought he was kind of creepy. I didn't feel comfortable around him. Well, yes, a lot of people get feelings about these kind of people, but that doesn't always mean that there's something going on.
Right. But that also on the flip side, what I wanted to say is that also doesn't mean that nothing is going on as well.
Right.
So the one thing I want to say about the allegation, at least as far as I'm concerned, with Isaac Bonowitz is I'm one of these people who I want more evidence. The problem is that the more evidence that I want isn't going to be forthcoming because Isaac Bonowitz himself is deceased.
Right. Now, I will say that she accuses the incident she accuses him of happened. She pretty much pinpoints where it happened and all this stuff. Now, Diana Paxson is also spoken about apparently in the book, but not as a bad thing. What it is she was friends with Marion Zimmer Bradley and what's his name? The dad. But she was friends with them, and she would have them at her house and stuff. And apparently this happened at Diana Paxson's house with Isaac Bonowitz. Now, both Diana Paxson Diana Paxson has come forward and said that, yes, Isaac Bonowitz stayed with her for a while, but that was not during the time that Marion Zimmer Bradley and her family would come to her house, and that they did, that the, her and her brother, the daughter and her brother, did stay there for a couple weeks while they were looking for their own home, but Isaac was not there. And this is all coming from Diana Paxson, that she, I believe she told Wild Hunt this, in that she's saying that none of the timelines are matching up for them to have been alone together at any point, or if they have even been in her house together at any point for even an event, from what I understand. Is that what you got from the Wild Hunt article?
Yeah, that is what I've got from the Wild Hunt article. But the other thing is to kind of play, you know, amateur psychologist / healthcare person. Number one, when people go through trauma like this, sometimes dates can get jumbled up in people's heads. Sometimes places can get jumbled up in people's heads. Sometimes, you know, people's faces can get jumbled up. At least from my reading and understanding of what I've seen so far, I think for sure Moria Grayland has a lot of PTSS, which is kind of the new form for post-traumatic stress disorder. They're now calling it post-traumatic stress syndrome, which honestly is actually more correct wording for it, because post-traumatic stress syndrome addresses the fact that, you know, this is kind of the human brain's reaction to stress.
and to that severe of a stressor. So that's my thing. As far as, was Isaac Bonowitz an abuser? Did he abuse Moria Grayling? We don't know. And what I'm going to say is that I want more evidence one way or the other before I can say definitely one way or another, yes, this person was an abuser, or no, this person was not an abuser. And that's kind of where I fall on that line.
Now we aren't down that she was abused. We know for a fact she was abused.
No, absolutely.
And we know mostly who she was abused by was her mom and dad.
Right.
And I really do feel bad for doubting anything coming from her.
Right.
Because I usually, and I know it's very mixed up. It really is. It's really mixed up. There's a lot of mixed up emotions with this. I never met Isaac Bonowitz. I do know people that have. But I have respected him for a really long time. And I
mm-hmm.
respect his wife, his last wife, Phaedra. And my heart really goes out to her right now, too, because, you know, Isaac's not here to defend himself. Phaedra's here, and I'm sure she's getting all kinds of crap right now.
Right.
And, I mean, I send her all my love and support. I really do. I hate doubting anyone. I hate it.
Right.
When it comes to something like this. In fact, most times, I tend to believe the person.
Yeah.
And part of me wants to believe her, and part of me wants someone to either corroborate her story or, you know, for me to believe it, or someone else to come and say, hey, Isaac did this to me too, before I believe it. 'Cause it doesn't
yeah.
tend to be a one-incident thing.
No.
This kind of abuse does not tend to be a one-incident thing with just one child.
Right, and I think that's kind of where I'm at with it. It's, you know, I'm one of these people that I am like the first person to believe it. You know, if someone came to me and said, hey, so-and-so is abusing me, I'm going to believe them. You know, but I'm also a big proponent in having evidence, you know, and I think some of what she has said has actually brought out some of the some questions about some of the thornier situations in our community, because, you know, she talks about how in some areas, basically, when there's an abuser in that group, people just kind of circle the wagon and say, oh, that's just so-and-so. Oh, we all know he's creepy. Stuff like that. Oh, don't worry about it. You know, that type of stuff. And the one thing I will say about this, and I actually was messaging Shauna Knight this morning about it, and, you know, it's, you know, it seems like everyone is having conflicting feelings about this, you know. And I think it's one of those things where, you know, I do have some questions about the book and the publisher. I do have some questions.
Have you gone into who the publisher is yet? Before I came
no,
on?
No, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to get there. Oh, don't worry.
Okay.
I'm going to get there. But, you know, there are certain things that lead me to think, well, maybe there's an agenda behind this book. Maybe there's not, you know. And I feel really, at least me personally, I feel icky that I'm thinking this way about an abuse victim. you know, and we already know that she was definitely abused. We know she was abused and molested by her father and her mother. I mean, there's depositions, there's all sorts of stuff. I mean, she was molested by her father, and her mother covered it up too. On top of the fact that her mother was physically abusive, on top of the fact that she even says that her mother was a nightmare to live with. So, you know, but also in reading what I've read about the book, there are certain points where she kind of expresses a political philosophy about the LGBTQ community and non-traditional relationships and the pagan community that I don't agree with.
Right. And for those of you that don't know, apparently she was, after all this came out, she was kind of adopted, taken in, whatever you may call it, by a very conservative right-wing family. That actually there's, and I'm not going to say that they were completely bad, because I guess they're the ones that kind of, you know, convinced her to come out of the closet about her mom. So, and they probably have helped her in other ways, but it almost sounds like right now they're also exploiting her as well as the publisher.
She did change her name. Here's the thing. Let me sum up what I know about her. She's a traditionalist Catholic. And she's also a right-wing traditionalist Catholic. She's also very active in the anti-LGBTQ. She's very much against gay marriage. She's very much against non-traditional relationships. But I tend to think that some of that is a result of what she went through as a child. However, she also makes some good points in the book when she talks about, like, her mother's relationship with other women. So,
and apparently, I read someone pointed out that part of her reason for having such issues with the LGBTQ community is that apparently her father was under some impression that by abusing her the way he did, that he would be sure that she would become part of the LGBTQ community.
Yeah, both her parents. From the parts I've read in the book, that allegation was made.
So, I mean, you can kind of understand if she grew up with that and that's the impression that they gave her, that why they were doing this to her. Psychologically,
right.
And then to be taken in and brought under the wing of this conservative family who she said actually convinced her to come out against gay marriage in LGBTQ community, you can kind of see why she feels the way she does on those aspects. But one of my first questions, I mean, one of the first questions that went through my head when I read all this was that did they put her up? I mean, I wonder if there was maybe some kind of incident that did happen to her when she was six that wasn't her mom and dad, but I'm wondering if it was possibly that they made her pinpoint someone that did it and helped her identify that person as Isaac to put a taint on our community. I mean, I don't really want to say that, but that's the first thought that went through my head.
Well, and could it be someone, maybe not him, but someone similar enough to him that her brand at the time didn't completely take the face of that person in, and there were things that, about him that reminded her of that abuser. So that's if he didn't do it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's where I could go with that she's not vindictively accusing him of it. Just that, like, his body type, his voice, were similar enough to the abuser that she's talking about that she confused him with her actual abuser.
Right.
Because sometimes you get that with people who have repressed memories and stuff like that. Sometimes that does happen. So once again, like I'm saying, I'm not going to say that she was not abused. I'm not even going to sit here and say that Isaac Bonowitz is 100% innocent in this situation. Like I said, what I want to say, at least as far as the Isaac Bonowitz allegation goes, I would like more evidence. Be it from her, be it from someone else who comes forward, you know, I would at least like to have more evidence, you know, have the timeline laid out, something. I think that's kind of where I stand. Now, I guess we kind of need to talk about the other situation as far as who the publisher is and editor is of this book. So, of course, you know, some of my least favorite people in the world, which happens to be white nationalists and neo-Nazis. Vox Day is an avowed Christian white nationalist. He thinks women should not be allowed to vote. LGBTQ people need to be executed. And black people as well should revert back to slavery. And these are all public statements this gentleman has made in the past. He is very much hardcore alt-right neo-Nazi, and at least in my opinion. I think he's scum.
And I don't know much about him. I just know what I'm being seen, what I've seen posted about the publisher.
He also is the person who's behind hijacking of the Hugo Awards by the Sick Puppies because, in his opinion, science fiction, the whole sci-fi genre, is becoming too liberal, too feminist, too this for his opinion. So they call them, there's a group calling themselves the Sad Puppies, and there's a certain amount of authors and stuff that are kind of aligned with him, and they tend to write stuff from more of a, they write sci-fi from more of a traditional society perspective, or at least a traditional Judeo-Christian society perspective, even if they don't use Judeo-Christianity as the religion in their society. And that's kind of them. They tend to like the libertarian men on top, women kind of in, below type of thing. And that's kind of where the Sad Puppies are coming from. They have managed to hijack the Hugo Awards nominating process several times. And so they're kind of also a thorn in the side of the sci-fi community. But
well, you have to admit that you don't have to have good morals to be a good writer, unfortunately.
No, absolutely. Marion Zimmer Bradley has proven that. And her father, Walter Breen, has proven that. So, just so you know. But,
right.
The question is, you know, he also publishes his stuff out of Callista House, and the North American version of Calista House, he's basically in charge of North American branch. So, therefore,
now I will point out that someone else posted in one of the conversations online that most likely there weren't any other publishers that would have published her book with all the stuff that with her political views. But
right,
the
no,
odds are that this was probably the only publisher that would have even published it.
I can agree with that sentiment there. Like I said,
so even if she is telling the truth, her choice of publisher is hurting her too.
Right. You know, and then the other thing is he also edited the book, which means, you know, he could have changed the story a little bit, changed the wording, maybe, maybe not, I don't know. But, you know, a lot of, like I said, this raises a lot of thorny questions and thorny feelings and a lot of stress and WTF moments within the pagan community, which honestly I think as a community we need to be talking about. You know, maybe this is a good time for us to be talking as a community about, well, you know, how do we prevent abuse of our children from happening? And not just our children, but of adults. You know, how do we prevent abuse in the community? And I think that's kind of the grander theme here that I think is going to be coming forward out of this.
Right, which Shauna Knight has already been posting some really good messages out
right.
there for people to think about, such as one of the things she posted is, you know, if you go to an event or festival, do you know what their policies are?
Right.
Do you know what it is that their policies are and how they would handle the situations that happened at the festival?
Like, I know at Puff, Tish would not allow something like this to happen.
Right. And before I go into that, I'm going to actually look at the post. But she's posting some really good stuff just to let everyone know. About, you know, how to deal with this situation. And I'm going to actually quote one of her stuff that she posted on Facebook. And it says, I know at times like this, people want there to be a right answer. They want someone to have the right words. This stuff is going to get us mixed up, and this one is particularly messy. Isaac Bonowitz is one of the most well-known names in paganism, and there are now allegations. Sorry, my phone just did something crazy. There are now allegations that he sexually abused a minor, and we to know what really happened. But this situation is a mess, like many of these. It's confusing and disorienting. Please give yourself permission to feel screwed up about this. It's okay to feel angry or scared, to be hurting, to grieve. It's natural and normal. And yes, we also have to get to the place where we can figure out what's next, but we aren't going to figure that out in a day. There isn't a magical blog post that's going to outline a perfect plan. This gets messy. It's going to screw us up, confuse us. And then she goes on to be talking about that this is part of the reason that gaslighting works and information about abuse and stuff, but I'm going to save that for our conversation as we go forward. But she says, I think that this is yet another tower burning down wake-up call, and it absolutely doesn't matter whether or not a specific pagan elder did a specific thing. The pattern is clear. In the pagan community, there are dozens, if not hundreds, of examples of enabling abusers and making excuses for them. We need to stop this shit. But there isn't going to be a fix or a patch in a day or even a week. So give yourself permission to feel screwed up about this, to grieve what you thought was a firm foundation. I don't have much I can offer up in the way of support other than just know that I know it's hard. I hope that those of you that are struggling with this get the love and support that you need. so.
Yeah.
Well, and I mean, you know, she's right. This is such a thorny situation.
Yeah, and with the Me Too movement going on, it's just so hard because you want to believe someone, but at the same time, when they say something, you're like, but wait, did it really happen? But then you feel bad for even questioning it, and it really does mix things up a lot.
It does. It really does. And that's kind of where I'm at with it all.
But hopefully this gets a good conversation and policies that, like, maybe if there's an event that doesn't really have a full-blown policy, it gets them talking. Because one of the other posts that she said, she goes, now is a good time to ask, does your favorite pagan festival, conference, or other event have a solid safety/anti-harassment policy? Does your group have one? It's on each of us to put on the pressure to the groups and events we are part of.
No, I absolutely agree. And, you know, I actually tried to see if Shauna would be able to come on tonight, and she had another engagement, but I think she is wanting to come on sometime in the next couple of weeks to talk about a lot of these things, which, you know, giving everything that she does, you know, I think is going to be an interesting conversation. But I guess maybe
I know a lot of people are posting that they're not part of a group, but that this is a good thing to make this, if you're deciding to become part of a group, to make this as one of your deciding factors, is if that group has a policy in place.
Right.
So I know in the past, at least in the past at, like, Pagan Friday and stuff, there's always been security or someone knew the actual person in charge to be able to identify them if they needed to go to them for some issue. But that's also a general policy. They might have something written up for Pagan Friday. I don't know. I'm sure they do. As far as PUF, I believe they have a disclaimer online that nothing will be like that is tolerated at PUF, and their security people are very well known. And
oh, yeah.
We always, it's like a big family at PUF, and believe me, if someone, you go to anyone there, they can help
if
you pretty much.
I will say this, at least as far as PUF goes, and I can speak to this, Tish Owen and the crew down there at PUF, they put on one heck of a festival. It's probably one of the safest festivals I've been to. Because they don't allow harassment or BS. They really, really don't. And her security crew does a good job. They're very big on, like, they provide. And I like how they have PUF has, like, the different tracks. They have the children's track. They kind of have a track for teens and tweens. And then they kind of have a thing for adults, which, honestly, I think is a good thing as far as, in a way, of preventing abuse. I know they don't – I don't think she even allows any sky-clad rituals at PUF at all. You know, and something that was brought up on someone else's, because there's a couple things that I had posted up on my personal Facebook page about this, that basically maybe paganism needs to kill the 60s and the 70s because, you know, some of the things that are rooted in different forms of paganism as far as sexual permissiveness and stuff like that, maybe it's time for it to die because the sexual revolution is over, and that people do get hurt with sex and sexual activities. And, you know, another thing that Shauna mentioned in some of her posts was that, you know, this tends to happen in any what's considered marginalized group. That, like, even in the BDSM community, the poly community, stuff like that, you'll have an abuser and everybody tends to circle the wagons because they're like, no, we don't want the public hearing about this. We don't want the public knowing about this. Then they're going to say, we're all like this, blah, blah, this, blah, blah, that. So that's another thing to think about.
Well, and another thing that someone pointed out is when they go to a lot of events and an elder or big-name pagan does something and someone's like, wait a minute, someone else is just like, oh, well, that's just the way they are. Well, guess what? That's not the way they should be anymore.
Right.
Don't just take the, oh, well, that's just the way they are excuse anymore. You need to point out, no, it doesn't matter. That's wrong. So,
right.
And I'd like to say that Shauna, on her post about that, actually point out policies need to be made clear. Many groups just have one line in a program book to the effect of people causing problems will be asked to leave. That's very different from a substantial policy and procedure and from engaging in the cultural shifting work to make people aware of consent practices, etc.
Well, and I like the whole thing of people talking about affirmative consent. You know, where people ask, you know, is this okay? May I touch you here? Is that okay? You know? Like, I know Puff says firearms, drunken behavior, bad attitudes, violence, failure to realize no means no, unbelievable that we even have to print this. And any inappropriate behavior will not be tolerated. And she even goes, we ain't kidding. And, you know, it's, I tend to like that it's there. And, like, I know it talks about, you know, she says it's more, you know, it's more than one line, but then again, the way Puff tends to run, you know, they're not going to allow a bunch of the BS.
Right. So, I guess, you know, for everyone out there, if there's a festival you go to all the time, that's a question for them. You know, if you
mm-hmm.
don't see one on their website, say, hey, what's your policy? What procedures do you have in place if something happens?
Right. No, absolutely, I agree.
So, is there anything else that we want to address with this particular issue at this point, or just kind of leave it for people for thought?
I can't really think of anything more. I mean, I think we need to talk more about, you know, the whole sacred space and stuff like that, but. Or not sacred space, but creating safer spaces. and what that looks like and how we need to make and how we need to allow for that to happen. But I also think that that might be, we need to have a larger conversation about some of that too.
Right. Like, you know, as far as, and that just made me think that I wonder if there are some festivals or conventions that have like maybe a room or a building or something set aside to where if someone feels like they have to get away from someone, that's where they can go.
Right.
Like, people can only enter, like, maybe one at a time, and someone's there to greet them and be like, are you okay? What's going on? You know, something like that. Something where someone would feel comfortable walking in, knowing that someone couldn't follow them into that space, whether that other person be male or female. That they can walk into that space because it's set up to only one person can walk in at a time, and there's someone there at all times to witness it and be able to, you know, talk to that person right then and there that's maybe on staff. I don't know. That is just some brainstorming that I just kind of threw out there because when you said sacred space, that kind of popped into my head.
Right.
So... but yeah, that's going to be a lot of conversations that's going to have to happen in the pagan community. You know, we thought we were all talking about stuff after the whole thing with Kenny Klein, but it's almost like it got pushed under the rug. Wouldn't
mm-hmm.
you say? It's like people
yeah,
started talking
like
about it for like a minute, and then it just got pushed under the rug.
Yeah, it keeps
it's like
doing that.
Wanting to avoid the issue.
Mhm. Yeah, it keeps doing that. It's yeah.
Because you always see this stuff about, well, people need to actually have these conversations and talk about it. And they're like, yeah, we do, and then. And then it's like, and it might even happen on Facebook or in a meeting or even with us speaking about it on, you know, on Blog Talk or on a podcast, you know, the first episode after it happens. But then it's like it all dies off and people push it out of their head because they don't want to think about it and nothing ever comes from it until the next incident happens.
Exactly. Well, and that's kind of why... You know, there's the thought, you know, that we're wanting to get Shauna on our show really, really soon because we want to kind of keep this conversation going. Because sometimes the more we talk about it, the more we keep the conversation going, the more and people will think about it. And the more people think about it, the more people will talk about it. And, you know, ultimately what we want is we want to see change in our communities, number one. And the first way to spark change, honestly, is to get people talking. Well, what does change look like? What does respecting victims and protecting children from victimization and preventing abuse within relationships and stuff, what does that look like? You know, what does it look like? What does it sound like? You know, what policies do we need to put in place? And stuff like that. And we could kind of, you know, the more people talk about it, then the more people are going to kind of get spurred to say, okay, well, let's get these policies put in place, you know, especially the ethical people. And personally, I think that people who run like ethical events and conferences and stuff like that, you know, people are going to vote with their feet, you know. PUP's not been going 20 plus years strong. You know, if Tish and Tish and her entire staff, you know, but she doesn't have an amazing staff down there that doesn't let stupidity happen. And when it does happen and stuff has happened, it's dealt with. It's dealt with very quickly, very immediately, and they are very proactive. Now, I can't say that about, you know, other festivals. I mean, you've been around the career at Puff, the staff at Puff. You know exactly what I'm talking about. They're not going to allow for something like that to happen. But I think that we need to talk about, you know, I think that, sorry, my brain's a little jumbled here, but, you know, I think the more that we vote with our feet, the better it's going to be for the community. And I also think we need to continue to talk about this. And when an allegation comes up, we need to be very honest about, okay, this allegation comes up. You know, we also need to be, like, you know, supporting the victims and believing the victims. Now, I also don't think it's wrong, at least in this particular scenario. I mean, I honestly think it should be taken on a scenario-by-scenario basis. But at least in this particular scenario, the person who is being accused of malfeasance is not around to defend himself in any way, shape, or form. So that's why I'm saying I would like further evidence.
Right.
Whether I will say he is or he isn't. Now, with her parents, I totally agree with her, and I totally support the fact that she is a victim. And that's why this situation, as Sean has even said, the situation is so thorny and so heartbreaking. Because we don't know, and yet a lot of us are on the side of having the inclination to believe people. And believe what people say.
Right. Because most women have been in the situation where they've said something has happened and not been believed. And I would say most women want to believe her. But at the same time, they have their doubts or their whole feelings about the situation. And it makes it really difficult.
Yeah, it makes it extremely thorny.
So, there is one thing before we get off of here for the night that I wanted to bring up as far as, you know, another current event. This actually isn't that current because it has to do with a show that aired in September, the end of September. And I'm sure a lot of us have watched the show, Ghost Adventures. I know I've watched it.
Yeah.
They've even filmed here in Louisville at Waverly. And I think I even mentioned that when I was on a tour at Waverly, the owner actually told us that when they came in to film, part of the stipulation of even allowing them coming in to film was that he could not provoke the ghosts, the spirits.
Right.
Because they believe the spirits at Waverly, most of them are there because that was the last place that they were at. It was tuberculosis hospital, and they treat them like family. You don't come in and taunt and provoke them. So apparently, though, and, you know, a lot of stuff, you know, gets in Ghost Adventures, a lot of times they'll say, well, a spirit is causing problems because, you know, it's a demon or there was satanic-ish stuff going on, you know, stuff like that. Well, on a show that blamed September 23rd, on the episode Golden Ghost Town, they're in an old mining town in southwest Oregon. It's currently a state park and being restored, and it's well known for its hauntings, which the show labels as being demonic and unleashed by local witches. And explained in the show and by various websites that Golden Oregon was once a mining town. And I'm not going to go into all its history and everything. But when the September episode of Ghost Adventure opens, they're driving to an abandoned town, and one of them feels an immediate sensation saying his stomach hurts. Later, several of the interviewees say the same thing. start to interview local religious official Archbishop Cloud, who claims that he heard rumors of occult activity taking place in the church after it was abandoned, and he explains it has desecrated the sacred temple. So, of course, they said this type of religion-based narrative is not unique to the show or to the reality stories. In fact, you know, it's a baseline of a good percentage of the shows. But in this particular show, the Ghost Adventurer goes so far as to blame modern witches for the haunting rather than only the dead ones from long ago. So after experiencing their own encounter in the church, the Archbishop Baggins discuss what might be feeding the malevolence that permeates the entire area. And then they said, have you heard about this sanctuary out there here in the woods somewhere that is very close to this? They do these rituals. I know it's witchcraft. It said pagan rituals. Have you heard about this group? So it ends up that during this conversation with the two, there are flashes of various images of people at night in the woods obscured by branches and trees. The entire sequence, which includes hanging stick figures and dramatic sound, is reminiscent of the Blair Witch Project. And then it says, the narrator asks, could the unusual number of violent acts in this area be caused by the dark entities conjured by these group of witches? And the Wild Hunt reports, interestingly enough, there actually is a witch camp not far from Golden. The area does have modern witches performing modern pagan rituals. And it is Free Cascadia Witch Camp, one of Reclaiming's annual retreats. And apparently it says that Baggins claimed that he attempted to interview and meet with 100-plus people at the camp, adding that his request was denied. And it says they are a very secretive group, he explains, which raises the question, what are they doing? What are they conjuring? It also has not yet been confirmed whether he actually did reach out to anyone from Reclaiming or any modern pagans in the region. So... some people in the community have pointed out that they've seen where it seems like the show is starting to become even more anti-pagan or anti-witch. And I know I haven't watched it in a while because I personally don't agree with the way he provokes the ghosts. I mean, yeah, it makes for interesting coverage sometimes, but I've just started not really watching it because I don't agree with how he does it. And I've even heard rumors that a lot of times the activity is even worse after he leaves. And I'm just wondering if maybe they did reach out, but then they said they wouldn't block anybody's faces that wasn't out of the closet, you know, the broom closet or anything. And maybe that's why they were denied. I mean, we don't know the whole story. But I don't think it's right to just outright make it seem like they're doing something so secretive and so dark that it's causing this issue.
No, I happen to agree.
So, and I also saw where some members in the pagan community that have actually met him have actually reached out to Zach in the show and been like, hey, what's the deal here? What's up? Why are you doing this? And I haven't heard where anybody's gotten a reply back. But they said when they had met them and stuff that they felt like they were really nice people, and it kind of bothers them that this has happened. But I thought with that being such a I mean, I don't know how big of a show it still is. I know it used to be a really huge show, but I just wanted to bring the issue up just so people knew it was out there and what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
So, was there anything else that you wanted, that something that had come across that you wanted to talk about before we end the show tonight?
Not that I can truly think of.
And I will say, I'm sure there's other stuff that we could talk about, other stories out there. It's just that I'm without internet right now. And I know Ravenfire was out. Unless she's home now, she was without internet most of the show too. So So we don't have a lot, you know, in front of us tonight. And, in fact, I can't even do the upcoming events because I can't get Facebook to load on my phone right now.
Yeah, and the thing about it is that I don't even have access to upcoming events, so because you're the one who keeps taking care of it.
Yeah, because audio's got on Facebook, and I just say interested in a whole bunch of different events. So I'm trying to think if there's anything coming up that I can think of. I will say for those that know, I'm having a brain glitch. But in the pagan community, there is, and we'll tell you what, if you know anybody named Jimmy in the pagan community that you know of that passed away in the last month, he was very involved in the Kentucky area. I believe that he and his wife, Gail, had also done some stuff in northern Indiana. I don't know if they did stuff with PSG or not. I'm having a brain glitch on their last name right now. I'm so sorry. But we'll post the link to the memorial on our Facebook page. It's Tree of Life. It's facebook.com/treeoflife, L-O-U-K-Y. They were very caring people, but he passed away. He lost his fight with cancer last month, and they're doing the memorial service January 27th, and we just want to make sure that everyone that knew him knows about it so that they can know what's going on.
Right. Nevitt.
Yes, thank you.
Nevitt.
James Nevitt. But yeah, he did a lot for the local pagan community. They were always at the Pagan Pride Day events. So he was a big member here locally, and I believe that they did some stuff at other places too, but I'm not sure.
Right.
So.
Yeah,
I guess that is it. Do the guys have a show tonight?
No, they don't. They're off this week.
Okay. Because I didn't know if any of the shows got played while we were off. And I do want to apologize to everyone. I had some family health issues and me and Raven Fire have both been working crazy hours here lately. So it just... We just had to take off for the holidays from doing the show. So I apologize for everyone out there that, you know, was looking forward to hearing our show over the holidays. But we had to take care of some stuff.
Right. No, absolutely.
So. All right. Well, then I guess that is it for the night. So, and because of our internet issues, we haven't been able to play any music tonight. Do you have yours up yet to where you can play a song at least to take us out?
I do have a song I can play to take us out. It's
Yay! All right, well, I'm going to go ahead and say everyone have a blessed evening, and we will be speaking to you next week.
All right, and y'all be safe out there.
Ravenfire, if you're trying to play music, it's not playing yet.
Yeah, I'm well aware.
Okay. Sorry, the gremlins are in the system again.
Yeah, I don't even think it's... Yeah, my computer just crashed on me. So I guess until next week, you all have a good one. Because I don't think I'm going to...
All right, so there may be some blank silence until we can actually end the episode. So we apologize to everyone out there, but we will see you next week. Have a good night.
All right. Have a good night, y'all.